Considering our look at the leadership candidates for the Alberta NDP, we are pleased to be joined on the line right now by Naheed Nenshi. Thanks, first of all, sir, thanks for taking the time to join us here today.
I am so thrilled to be talking to you, and I can't wait to be up in Peace River in person soon, I hope.
Certainly be interesting to have you here. But anyhow, why don't we kind of start with the kind of what you're doing. Of course, a lot of people familiar with your previous life as the former mayor of the city of Calgary, but now you've entered the provincial political scene, taking a run for the leadership of the NDP. I guess, first of all, what made you decide to run in this race?
Well, you know, I'm still sort of pinching myself that I have done this. I jumped in just about 2 months ago now to try and do this. And, you know, I had a good run, 11 years as mayor, a good political career. I was enjoying my next phase of my life in semi-retirement, making some money, doing some fun things based on building communities around the world. But at the same time, I'm an Albertan. And like so many Albertans, I have been increasingly concerned about the future of the world, about the future of the province, and increasingly concerned with the direction of this government. So I talked with a lot of Albertans in every corner of the province saying, you know, how might I be able to help? And enough folks said to me, including some people in Peace River, you know, Nahid, you're not very good at very many things. You don't have a lot of skills. But the one thing you are good at is mobilizing people. And right now, the times are so dire. The stakes are so high. We actually really need no bystanders. We need people to be in with all feet using the skills that they've got to try and make the community better. And enough folks said that to me that I said, all right, back in politics again, and here we are.
And as you mentioned, certainly there's campaigns been going on for a little while. You've been around to different areas of the province. What are kind of some of the things that you've heard from people about, things they want to see addressed?
Well, you know, first of all, I should say that I have been blown away by the excitement that we've seen in every corner of the province, in the big cities and in smaller communities, about change. You know, I didn't think that I would have standing room only audiences in Red Deer twice and in Lethbridge, and that I'd have to remind my team in Edmonton that I used to be the mayor, so I actually care about fire code. So if the room seats 700, don't invite 1,400. But that's been really great in all kinds of communities. And people are all saying very similar things. They're worried about public health care and public education. They're worried about making sure that we're there to give a hand up to people when they most need it. They're worried about the economy and the future. They're worried about the environment and what we're doing to make sure that we're managing it, especially in times of drought and wildfire that we're seeing right now. And they're worried about the cost of living, saying, you know, the premier keeps telling us that Alberta's economy is going really well, but we're not feeling it in our own pocketbooks. And what are we going to do about that? You know, and it's true, Alberta has the second highest inflation, or sometimes given the month, the highest inflation in the country. Our wages have gone down more than anywhere else in the country. So people are right to be very concerned about these things. And people in smaller communities have very specific things they're telling me about: the difficulty in attracting and retaining doctors and nurses and teachers, the importance of maintaining the roads and rural infrastructure, about intercity transportation, which is getting harder and harder, especially for seniors. And one that was new to me, well, it shouldn't have been new to me, but a lot of folks have been talking to me about broadband and how hard it is to get good, stable internet coverage in smaller communities. So I'm really on a listening phase right now and learning much more about the concerns that folks have, but certainly there have been a lot.
And one of the things you mentioned there was definitely constant affordability, a particularly big concern for a lot of people around the province. What are kind of some of the things that kind of gets in your platform, so to speak, to help try and address that?
Well, you know, one big caveat is that I am very aware that I'm running for leader of the opposition. And we likely will not have an election for 3.5 years. So I don't know, you know, I jokingly say, I don't know what hell the UCP will wreak on us over those 3 years and what they will fix. But right now I'm diagnosing a lot of problems. Our electricity rates have more than quadrupled since the UCP took power. They are scaring away investment and decent jobs. Our minimum wage is now the second lowest in the country, and they show no interest in trying to increase that. Our auto insurance rates are more than double what they are next door in Saskatchewan. So I think it's important for us to really focus in on the areas where the provincial government does have some control, things like utilities and insurance rates, and ensure that we are making sure that we always put the consumer at the center, not the companies that are selling these things. So that's a big piece of it. I do expect that interest rates, as most people do, that interest rates will start going down this year, but that doesn't solve the housing affordability crisis. And the government is very much of two minds, speaking out of both sides of its mouth on this, saying there is a crisis, but then systematically opposing every attempt to solve the crisis by saying things like, well, the cities and the smaller communities don't know what they're doing, or the federal government should not be giving us money because it didn't go through us and we want to wash that money through the province. You just can't talk of both sides of your mouth. If you believe that housing affordability is in crisis, then you've got to invest in increasing housing supply, both affordable housing and private sector housing. So these are kind of the broad strokes of the things that we need to talk to Albertans about more.
And also kind of on the somewhat related topic is definitely on the economy. I remember a quote I actually heard a few weeks ago where, you know, it's a lot of activity that happens in rural areas that kind of helps the economy in the big centers, you know, things like your agriculture, your forestry, your oil and gas, that kind of stuff. So what's kind of sort of kind of on your plans when it comes to dealing with economic growth, and how can sort of rural areas like what we have here in the Peace Region, northwestern Alberta, kind of play in that?
You know, that's a great way of framing the question, because sometimes in the larger communities, people don't realize how much of our economic prosperity is really coming from smaller communities across Alberta. And yes, that's absolutely true that, you know, it's a cliche to say, we got to eat. And you don't eat without farmers and ranchers. But there's much more to it than that. And we have to think about ways in which we're making sure that people in smaller communities across Alberta are participating in the prosperity of this place. That was a lot of peas. That's hard to say. But, you know, for example, we've just heard some news out of Cardston County in southern Alberta that because of the UCP's ill-fated ban on renewables, they've now had the plug pulled on a major wind project that they were really relying on for funding for the county and also for good, decent jobs. And now the county is going to be short money to build the infrastructure they need, and people will be out of work. And these are the sorts of things that we've really got to focus in on to make sure that economic development that is leading to good, decent jobs for people, because that's the best way to deal with affordability is to have people have good jobs and decent wages.
And finally, whenever we have a guest join us here, we always like to throw in a little personal question to kind of show that, yes, these politicians are, in fact, people too. Now, I know you've been...
I'm not.
Now, I know you've been, sort of very busy with this campaign. I'm sure there's probably a lot of stressor and whatnot going on. But on those rare moments we get to, you know, maybe a little bit of downtime, or a little bit of chance to relax. But what are kind of some things that you're doing to help maybe take off the edge a little bit?
Well, you know, before I decided to jump into this race, I had realized that I had stopped reading. You know, when I was mayor, I was just reading 1,000-page council agendas. And once I finished being mayor, like too many of us, I just spent too much time doom scrolling on my phone. So I decided to bring books back into my life. And just before I jumped into this race, I was a panelist on a CBC program called Canada Reads. And I'm trying to continue to read and do more books, but I'm watching some TV and movies as well. I'm a big fan of superhero things. And so I've been really excited about this cartoon show called X-Men 97. And in fact, as we're recording this, the season finale has just been released. So I'm hoping that I'll get some time to catch up on that and see what they did to my favorite characters.
That definitely sounds like you got some good things going on there. Nahi Netji, one of the candidates running for the leadership of the NDP, thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you. And I have one more quick little anecdote, which is when I went to drop off my nomination forms, you know, we had signatures from across the province. It was very old-fashioned. People had to courier or mail them to a central location. I got them all, and I went to drop them off. And the first page of my nomination forms was entirely people from Peace River, who I don't know. So I am so excited to come up and meet these folks and learn much more about Peace Country.